Hoffman.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Notice I'm not mentioning many texts or Facebook today because...
Is it bad?
Yeah, it's pretty bad, so I'm just ignoring them.
It's weird.
Yeah, Twitter's pretty good, though. Here's one for you. What happens to Rick Smith if the Texans make the playoffs? He still needs to go, from Sway Dizzle.
I agree. I don't know if he will, but yeah, I think that he probably still should go.
It's going to be hard.
The playoffs, it's hard to fire anybody.
Yeah, it's going to be... Know? Yeah, and that's... And that's kind of the catch-22 of the whole thing. You want to root for him.
Well, listen, if the Colts make the playoffs and lose in the first round, is Chuck Pagano still going to be the coach?
No.
I don't think so.
Is Ryan Grigson still going to be the GM?
I don't know.
Probably not.
He's probably got a better chance of making it. But
all right, let's go through the NFL, all the other games that we haven't had a chance to hit on yet, and we'll get to your phone calls. We'll start off with the Lions and Raiders. Lions win at 18-13, and Derek Carr would... Probably his worst game of the season. I admit, I thought the Raiders would go in there and give him a better game. I guess the Lions are just playing better football right now, which I expect them to do at some point. They're better than their record. But
I mean, this was just a game of really solid defense. I mean, when you think about it, it's not like the Lions went out there and dominated the game. They had three field goals. That's half. You know, it was a weird game. Is what it was. It was a weird game, and I think the Raiders just, they weren't on their best, and the Lions are playing better than they have been. So the Raiders, that if you're going to make the playoffs, that's a game you got to win. They're probably not a playoff team now. They fall to 4-6, but the Lions have the talent to be good. They just have been bad all year. I think maybe they're turning a corner. Maybe.
Yeah, it's too late for them, but
it is.
It's a good win. Colts beat the Falcons 24-21. The Falcons, once again,
just crap the bed and they're late in the game.
They outplay the Colts most of the game, and then Matt Ryan starts turning the ball over, and they start playing crappy football, and the Colts get a good win.
I'll say
that pick six. Oh my God.
Oof. I think the biggest issue with the Colts is Frank Gore is not. He's starting to wear down. You know, Frank Gore started the season really good. And we're like, wow, Frank Gore's still got a lot left in the tank. Well, now you're starting to see maybe he doesn't. And the Colts have no way to grind out the clock when they've got a lead, which leaves you open to making bonehead things like Matt Hasselbeck did late in that game. And it's just like Matt Ryan did. When Devontae Freeman went down, the Falcons ran into the same boat that the Colts were in. They couldn't run the ball. And find a way to crap away the game. So they kind of reversed roles yesterday, whereas the Colts have had trouble running out the clock, and that's been costing them games. They ran into a team that has bigger problems. And who knows what would have happened if Devontae Freeman stayed healthy. That dude was averaging 14 yards a carry when he went out. But Tevin Coleman, who's their big draft pick and was supposed to be good, had nothing for him. And Matt Ryan ends up throwing the ball more than he should have been late.
Yep. Although... I have no problem giving Matt Ryan the ball in the past, but this year it hasn't worked out.
It hasn't worked out.
Except when they played the Texans. Buccaneers beat the Eagles 45-17. Big day for Jameis Winston. The Eagles are just a mess.
That's an understatement. Jameis went crazy. And I don't know how many times we're going to see games like that out of him, but he was very successful. He was making all the right reads, making good throws. Doug Martin, have a day, young man. 27 carries. 235 yards rushing.
That Eagles defense is terrible.
That's rough, man. That is rough. Also, can I just say, if you're gonna have a running back who gets 235 yards rushing, let that man find the end zone at some point in the day. Let him get in there once.
Reward him.
Yeah, the Eagles just terrible. They had nothing, and Mark Sanchez did what Mark Sanchez does. Played bad football. And the Bucs just were on a roll.
Broncos going to beat the Bears 17-15. Brock Osweiler, well, he didn't suck. He was all right. He was better than I thought he would be. And the Broncos get a win. And now there's all this talk about Peyton wanting to play next year. Maybe not for the Broncos. Peyton maybe not There are all kinds of stuff going on with him there, but
I think
Broncos are 8-2, and they may be the most unstable 8-2 team I can recall seeing in a while.
I think the difference in this game, from what we've seen, you know, the Broncos have been struggling lately. The Bears had been surging. The difference this week was the Broncos ran the ball effectively, which they haven't done in a while.
Really, all year they haven't done it.
Hillman and Anderson both were at right around 5 yards per carry. And the Bears, who had been running the ball really well with Langford, 25 carries, 86 yards. Just couldn't get it going on the ground. Forced Jay Cutler into some bad spots, some third and longs, and he did not have a good day. So good win for the Broncos, who look like, you know, maybe they got something there with Brock Osweiler. I'm not ready to go and say they're better off with him than Peyton yet, but that's a nice job, good win for them.
And it looked like Gary Kubiak's offense again. So he looked like a taller Matt Schaub when Matt Schaub was still okay.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Good thing for now, but 3 weeks from now it'll be a bad thing once you start throwing pick sixes. Ravens beat the Rams 16-13, but Joe Flacco lost for the season. Justin Forsett lost for the season.
My goodness. Have you ever seen a team with worse luck?
Oh, and well, Case Keenum gets thrown back out there with a concussion. The Ravens won the game, which means absolutely nothing for a 3-17, but yeah, they're done.
The Ravens, listen, I don't want to say it's a good thing because your guy tears his ACL. That's horrible. I feel for Joe Flacco.
The season was over anyway. You can take a break.
Having
go
torn a couple myself. Yeah. When you think about the fact that they've lost essentially their entire offense. I mean, they'd already lost Perriman, who was their rookie receiver that was supposed to be big noise for them. They've lost Steve Smith. Now they lose Justin Forsett and Joe Flacco in the same game. They've got nothing on offense right now. Matt Schaub is going to start for them.
Is your quarterback.
What this does, though, is it lets those guys all get healthy, and you're going to get a solid draft pick, maybe somebody who can come in and be a real impact player. And when you get all those guys back, and maybe not Steve Smith, but when you get the rest of those guys back, maybe you've got a piece that can help you go from bad up to great.
Because you're not that far away from being.
Yeah, the Ravens have talent. They just have they've had horrible luck this year, and they've had injuries.
And they do need another playmaker on offense, and they need a couple things on defense. And they can you get a high couple of picks, they draft well. They should be able to fix that.
The Keenum thing was so confusing to me because, first of all, Keenum was no better than Nick Foles. If you're going to bench Nick Foles, you better have somebody who's going to actually go out.
He looked exactly the same. I mean, he looked like the same guy.
QBR 13.6 for the day for Keenum. And then if that's what's happening and the guy gets concussed.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't keep running him out there like he was going to win you the game or something. The guy was playing like crap all day. Just go to your former starter and until Keenum gets it figured out. The dude was clearly concussed, and it's bad look for the NFL with that movie coming out pretty soon too.
Yeah, no, that and you have a guy who's hired to just
that's his job.
See that.
You got one job and you can't see
and,
that dude's
and you,
concussed.
You were watching that game and you couldn't tell?
That's weird.
Tony Romo proves that he is the greatest player in the history of the game.
He's the man.
As the Cowboys go in and beat the Dolphins 24-14 and get themselves just two games out of first.
Unbelievable.
In the NFC East.
I still don't think they have anything for. But did you see that the Cowboys opened as favorites against the Panthers?
I did.
The Dallas Cowboys opened as a 2-point favorite against the 10-0 Panthers. The 3-7 Cowboys, 2-point favorites over the 10-0 Panthers. Second time in NFL history a 10-0 team's opened as an underdog. The other time, the 7-3, not the 3-7 Cowboys, the 7-3 Cowboys opened up as a 2-point favorite in 1985 over the 10-0 Bears. The Bears won 44-0.
Wow. Well, and speaking of that, it's not like the Panthers did anything this week to make you think, they're starting to...
Man, Cam's coming around.
44-16, 5 touchdowns for Cam Newton. And he's playing better here these last few weeks. He's passing the ball better. He's run the ball pretty well all year. He's passing the ball much more effectively. And if he does that, this team is scary good. Because defensively, they can slow down just about anybody.
Someone asked me today if Cam Newton was the MVP of the league. And I thought that'd be a good exercise for us. Maybe give your top 5 MVP candidates where you'd have Cam Newton. I think he's probably third on my list right now. But when you go around the league, there's not a lot of guys that you go, this guy should definitely be ahead of him.
Just off the top of my head, I can't see him being any lower than third on my list.
I've got Brady, Palmer. I can't think of anyone else that I'd put ahead of Cam Newton right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you can make a case for Cam against both those guys. I mean, his team hasn't lost.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'd have to think on it a little more. But, well, Tony Romo, because they're 3-0 with
him. Of course, yeah, you're right.
Tony Romo belongs in there.
Oh, and J.J. Watt.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And T.J. Yates.
Probably not.
All right, Chiefs beat the Chargers 33-3. Don't look now, but the Chiefs, who much like the Texans, were kind of left for dead earlier, back to 500 in a division where, unfortunately, I think they're too far behind the Broncos. But they might sneak their way back into the wild card race.
Well, yeah, they are back into the wild card race. And I'd kind of written them off, too, especially when Jamal Charles went down. I mean, where were they going to get any kind of offense from? And yesterday, again, it's not like they got – I mean, they didn't get a ton. And West, who'd been their kind of go-to guy, got nothing. And then Spencer Ware comes off the bench and has a day. So I don't know if this is something they can keep up, but they're good enough defensively to stay in a lot of games, and the Chargers continue to just melt. And you talk about another situation where they're going to get a really high draft pick, and I don't think they're as bad as 2-H would say they are. That's a team that could get a really nice piece next year. But the Chiefs, going forward, this is their schedule. They're home to the Bills, which is, I mean, that's an important game because that's another team.
That's a wild card battle right there.
The rest of their schedule beyond that, at Raiders, Chargers at home, at Ravens, Browns at home, Raiders at home. I mean,
they'll be favored in almost all those.
They'll be favored in, they might be favored in all of them.
Man, maybe not at Oakland, but maybe so. I don't know.
I don't know, man. So they've won four in a row now. Including wins against the Steelers and the Broncos. The Chiefs are real. That's a good team. Defensively, they're very, very good. And you go back to their last 6 weeks, they haven't given up more than 18 points in a game. You're going to win a lot of football games if that's what you're doing defensively.
All right. There's three more games to get to. We'll save those for the next segment one of them, I think. Well, actually,
I blab too much about these games? Or,
No. But I do think two of these games deserve a little more run than, just kind of at the end of the segment thing.
Okay. You think the Seahawks 49ers?
Yes, that's the one.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah, we need to do an
depth.
Entire segment on Seahawks 49ers and Blaine Gabbert.
Boy.
And how great the 49ers would be if, they just started with Blaine Gabbert sooner and not had to play teams better than them.
Really made a mistake with that.
Anyway, we'll come back, but we'll get to the games that were pretty good yesterday. But right now, got to tell you about Houston Khan Academy, where they help kids who have dropped out of school. They give them a second chance. And they're getting these kids through school, giving them an opportunity to go on and continue their education and become better human beings. Very cool thing they do. And you can help. It's real simple. That's why they have Cars for Kids right here in Houston. Donate your vehicle. If it's sitting out in your yard, sitting out in your garage, you just leave it there. You had nothing. You were going to work on it maybe, or maybe you just didn't know what to do with it. You donate that. They'll come tow it free of charge. They'll do all the paperwork for you, and your donation is tax deductible. So all you got to do is give them a call. And if you donate today, you're going to receive a $50 Visa gift card. It's just their way of saying thank you, as long as you told them you heard about it on the Blitz. And the cool thing about it is, no matter where you are, if you're over in Port Arthur or Vidor or Beaumont or Lake Charles, they'll drive over there and get it. If you can hear my voice, they'll come pick it up. All you have to do is call. It's quick. It's simple. And they use that money from those donated vehicles to help these kids. If they need glasses, sometimes they feed them. If they need transportation, that's where your money's going. You're helping kids get through school that would have never gotten a second chance if not for Houston Khan Academies. So you're doing a great thing just by picking up the phone, getting rid of something you're not using anymore. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. All right, three more games to go, and we'll start with the Packers putting it on the Vikings. Have to admit, I saw this one coming. I really thought the Packers were going to play a good game. I didn't think they'd beat them that badly. But big effort, 30-13 the final, and they take control of the NFC North again.
Yeah, that's a big win on the road. And, you know, Minnesota was one of those teams that, much like Carolina, I guess, that I haven't really bought into completely. They've been good all year, but are they really as good as their record says? I still haven't been really convinced. And the Packers just came out and put it on them yesterday. That's a big win. And like you said, they're back in control of the NFC North. And, you know, back in the conversation for hosting a playoff game, which is obviously going to be their goal.
All right. The game we all want to talk about. Seahawks 49ers. Hey, Thomas Rawls had a big game.
Thomas Rawls had a day. And he may have to have a few more because from what I understand, Marshawn Lynch, if it's a sports hernia, which they fear, maybe done for the year. That's a big loss.
Yeah.
If that's the case, because he'd have to have surgery. But Thomas Rawls, you know, listen, it's the 49ers, so you can't get too worked up. But he filled in admirably for Marshawn yesterday. And Russell Wilson had one of his better games of the season. The 49ers are just a terrible football team at the end of the day. And just a mess on the field, off the field. The Colin Kaepernick thing to the IR is it's a clown show there in San Francisco right now.
And Cardinals beat the Bengals 34-31. This was a very close game, which I wasn't surprised. I mean, a lot of action at the end especially, but Bengals lose their second in a row. I don't really think there's any shame to losing at Arizona, but when they do look back at this, the Bengals are going to think, you know what, we could have had this football game. There's no question.
They probably should have, especially when Carson Palmer gives you the ball a couple times. That's the one thing he hasn't done very much this season is turn the ball over, and he did a couple times yesterday. But at the end of the day, Arizona's offense is just so good, and they're so versatile. They got so many weapons out there on the outside, and Palmer, you know, in the second half looked like he had looked. And that's a good win for the Cardinals, who I continue to say I think they're the best team in the NFC. I think that if you put a gun to my head, said pick the Super Bowl team from the NFC, to me right now it's the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. Then, of course, tonight,
the lowly Buffalo Bills
against Los Patriots.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
It should be fun for somebody. Got a feeling Rex Ryan's not going to think it's that fun, but
yeah.
But, who knows?
Interesting day in the NFL, interesting weekend. We'll get to the college football here in a bit because there's a bunch that we haven't had a chance to touch on. And I'm going to talk my UH friends off the ledge. I've had to do it individually to about 10 of them over the last day. So I will do it on air to make it easier.
Are you of the belief that that loss this week didn't matter at all?
It did not matter at all, no. Because
you think they're in the same position to get the New Year's Day Bowl?
Absolutely. You beat Navy and Temple, the other two teams that are ranked, you're in.
Okay.
You'll have one loss. Those teams will have more than one loss. You'll have won the AAC. You'll get the big bowl game.
I guess my concern is the committee seemed to have no respect for UH in the rankings to begin with.
Well, you know, what's interesting is AP didn't drop them that much.
Yeah.
They only dropped to 21.
We'll see what happens in the poll that matters, though, because that's the poll where they've had a hard time getting any traction.
But you know what? Navy will still be up there, and you'll have a win over them. You'll have a win over Temple. The key is they've got to be healthy. And I said all along I was more worried about that game than I was Navy.
Yeah.
Because classic trap game. UConn's playing better, and that's a horrible trip to go to Stores. And that's why UConn's basketball team, by the way, has come down here and lost a couple times. That is a long-ass trip. And it's not easy to get from one place to the other. I just kind of knew. I could see this coming. And from that perspective, though, everything they want is still right in front of them. Beat Navy, beat Temple, you get a big bowl. And you were never going to be in the conversation for the top four, even if you were unbeaten. So
nothing's really changed.
And nothing has changed, and the loss doesn't mean anything. Let's try a phone call. Terry. What's up, Terry?
Hey now, Terry.
Yeah, how you doing?
We're doing sports, Terry.
I wanted to talk about T.J. Yates, why nobody won't give him his true props. I think he's a good clutch quarterback.
Okay. I mean, I thought he was okay at times yesterday. I've seen enough of T.J. Yates to know he's a backup quarterback is what he is. And if anybody's not getting their props to me this season, it's been Brian Hoyer. The fact that someone asked yesterday if Brian Hoyer will be the starter when he comes back is a joke. Brian Hoyer, I mean, this team was, it's not like they were running away with anything. They haven't been good, but it hasn't been Brian Hoyer's fault. Brian Hoyer, to me, has outperformed everybody's expectations. and to me has earned the right to be the de facto starter of this team, at least for now. And T.J. Yates, listen, he filled in nicely. But that's what he did. He filled in.
Yeah, and honestly, they're better off with Hoyer in there.
I think so too.
And no knock on how T.J. played yesterday. I thought he played pretty well. He did what you asked him to do. He only had the one really bad mistake where he held onto the football too long on that blitz and got the fumble. And look, the Jets do that. I mean, they are going to get to the quarterback and force fumbles, but he never saw that one coming. But, I thought he played well for a backup quarterback, played well for a guy who was sitting on his couch a month ago. But let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet.
Someone asked me if I'm worried about BYU possibly passing up UH or Navy. They've got three losses,
no,
BYU does. No. It'd be tough.
No.
What I will say for BYU is their three losses are to – they're at UCLA, at Michigan, and at Mizzou, which are all Power 5 teams.
But that Missouri loss,
the Missouri loss is a bad loss.
Yeah.
They also have a win at Nebraska. They beat Boise. They beat Cincinnati. They've got some good wins on their schedule, but I just think three losses – and they'll look back at that. If they wouldn't have lost to Mizzou, if they beat Mizzou and they've got wins at Mizzou and at Nebraska and over Boise, they probably do win that bid, even with two losses, over a one-loss Navy or a one-loss UH. But I think three losses is just too much for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with that being the third loss, the Missouri loss.
I think the only other team in that mix is probably Toledo.
And Toledo, and they just don't play the schedule that these AAC teams play.
No, and the fact that they're all still ranked, I think it's going to play out where you're looking at a two-loss AAC team at worst in Temple that's got some pretty good wins. So, I think that gets it done.
Here's what I will say for Toledo, though. Their one loss is to Northern Illinois, who's pretty solid, the 8-3 football team.
It's a team that's beat them like 6 years in a row, by the way.
Yeah, and they have a win at Arkansas, which looks better every week, and a win against Iowa State. So they played two Power 5 games and won both of them. I think at the end of the day, if UH or Navy, I mean, if they win the AAC with one loss, I think that's more deserving because that's been a tougher conference this year.
And they will have all played Power 5 teams.
Right. But Toledo going 2-0 against Power 5 teams, which UH did also, mind you, but they don't have a win like at Arkansas, which is it's turned into a legitimately good win. I don't know if...
Yeah, I think body of work, though, if you say wins over Louisville, Vanderbilt, Navy, Temple,
I think I would take that, too. But like I said, for whatever reason, UH has just not been getting love in these rankings.
No, and I don't quite understand it, but as long as they take care of business, it's going to be impossible not to give it to them. And James asked, you really think UH beats Navy? I think they need a healthy Greg Ward, and I guess Farrow's hurt, too, now, which... You start losing too many of those guys, you got problems. But one thing that I've noticed about this UH team, if you're one-dimensional, they can't stop you on defense. And I think defensively, they'll have a good plan for Navy. They'll slow Navy down. And as long as the offense is healthy, I'm less worried about this game than I was UConn for a lot of reasons. I just think that it's a better matchup. Won't surprise me if they get blown out, but it depends on who goes out there healthy. But that's a very good defense that can stop the run if that's all you can do.
Yeah.
All right. Very quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great one. Hard to tell. You can never tell when Texans fans can ever be happy. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And I want to let you know we will be out at Nick's Place on Wednesday. Show will be a little bit early. It'll be 2 to 5:30. Can't wait to get back out there. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm excited to be out there. Granado and those guys have overtaken it. So we'll show them that we do a better show than those guys.
And we drink a lot more than they do.
Right.
No, actually, I was having a conversation with Nick at his birthday, and he said he's going to have us out there. So. He's a man of his word.
Here it happens.
All right. Stanford Rao joins us as he does every Monday. And Stanford, I'm going to ask you a question that one of the texters asked us, and I just hadn't gotten to it yet because I think it's a fair question.
Let's do it.
From Bill, he just says, just wondering how happy we should be for these latest Texans wins. They aren't good enough to make a real run in the playoffs. And this will do nothing more than kill the draft position. Don't get me wrong. I love seeing it. Just trying not to hurt myself thinking. What there is kind of a fine line here between, all right, you're 5-5. You want them to make the playoffs, but do you realistically see them being a team that can win in the playoffs? Or you just say, look, just get in there and see what happens?
Man, the way they've been playing the past couple weeks with the way their defense is now number one in the league on third down, and TJ Yates coming in there doing what he's done for the past, I'd say, 5+ quarters. All you got to do is get in it. And just like in gambling, you got to be in it to win it. That's the main thing. Now, I don't know if they're going to make a deep run or anything like that, but I would much rather go into the playoffs and lose in the first round of the wild card rather than not make the playoffs at all. Because, yeah, it hurts the draft position. I get it. But I'd much rather at least be invited to the dance than not at all.
Do you see, though, where teams may not want to make changes? If you get in 9-7 and you wind up winning the division, you look at your offseason, and yeah, you lose in the first round. It's like, hey, great, got in the playoffs. But does that make you at some point think, you know, maybe they're not going to be willing to make the changes they need to make to get to the next step because they're satisfied with that?
No, if you're a GM or you're a head coach that's actually worth your salt, you know what's winning and what's not winning, and versus just being the biggest bully on the playground. You know what it is. So, yes, I get it. To go 3-13 obviously is one of those things where it's obvious that you need to go ahead and blow up the franchise, blow up the organization, get rid of all these guys, and going 8-8 or 9-7 and still winning the division may muddy the water a little bit as far as clarity. But anybody who actually knows football, you don't need to look at a record to tell what needs to be changed, what needs to be flip-flopped, or anything of that nature.
And like a texter points out very well, it's not like the Texans draft well anyway. So why is it, and I'm still at a loss for this, and I've tried to talk some people over there to find out the whys, but how is it you can go from it being a defense that was just historically bad for the first several games of the season to one that's playing the way that we thought they might play at the beginning of the season? And I know it's been some personnel changes and some, you know, the scheme's been a little less complex, but how do you make that big of a change?
Well, you got to also remember, it's only a handful of teams right now in the NFL that have winning records. It's only about, I think, 11 or 12 teams out of 32 that have winning records. So it's a lot of average football being played right now in the National Football League. But even with that being said, you still want to be one of the better ones of the bunch. And to me, it seems like they simplified things. It seems like they're not trying to confuse the quarterback. They're not trying to be exotic with all these different defenses. They're just keeping everything in front of them. They're coming up, making tackles, and no blown assignments. And if you just do those two things, you can go pretty far as a defense.
When you say simplify, is that a nice way of saying these guys aren't smart enough to pick up the defense?
No, I am not. I'm definitely not saying that. But at times, you can outsmart yourself as a coach, and you can make it to where the players are doing way too much thinking, because in this league, everybody's fast, everybody's strong, everybody can jump high, everybody can do all of that. But if you got a guy who's a 4-4 and you make him think, he's now running a 4-6 out there on the football field. Same thing with any other position. So you always want to keep things simple. That's why Carolina, great defense. Defense is very simple. They don't do a lot of different things. They just execute. Seattle's defense, they just execute. A lot of teams that are really good, the Patriots, they don't throw a lot of different things at you. They do on offense, but they just execute. And that's the main thing, and that's what it appears to me that they've been doing, is they simplify things. They're not running a lot of different coverages. They're just doing a lot of the same thing. They're just doing it better.
Thoughts on the Cougs and where they stand going forward? Fred seems to think it's not a big deal. That loss doesn't hurt them. What do you think?
It don't hurt them as far as talking about the college football playoff bracket?
Well, they're not getting in the playoffs. They were never getting in the playoffs. But as far as getting the New Year's Day bowl
winning the conference.
And winning the conference, this game's going to mean nothing. If they beat Navy and Temple, they're still going to be the highest ranked non-Power 5. They're still going to go to the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and it's still going to be a hell of a season. So it's unfortunate. You don't want to lose, but I mean, that was a game that was coming at a very tough part of the schedule for them, between an extremely emotional win over Memphis, where your quarterback's out. Mm-hmm. You got Navy coming in. This is going to be your highest profile game of the year.
Triple option.
And, that was always going to be a tough spot for them. And when you were down to having to throw Greg Ward back out there on one leg, that's not a good thing. And, you know, they I'm not excusing him for losing the game, but I wasn't surprised that it happened. And they almost pulled it off anyway, which would have been great. But in the end, if they take care of business against Navy, it doesn't matter.
Well, I just look at things going forward, and I want them to be ranked as high as they possibly can in the AP and the college football playoff rankings, because I think that all U of H needs is to be in a bigger conference. They get in one of these Power 5 conferences, hopefully the Big 12 one day, and that's where I think really recruiting can take off. Everything as far as the publicity, the merchandise, all of that will just take off. And also, I want them to have a higher ranking, because I think that'll entice Herman to stay and not one of these big-time colleges from one of these Power 5 conferences coming after him. So for me, I want it more for going forward, and plus it just looks better with the higher ranking. I get it. Yeah, they can still win the conference. They can still get that New Year's Day bowl. But just going forward, I always want to see U of H get in a bigger conference, and I know it's going to be an uphill battle, and it's definitely going to be a process, but I think every little bit helps them get toward that goal.
Dan, I have a completely different perspective on it. I think they can become Boise State and get themselves in that conversation if you can put 1, 2, 3 years together.
Mm-hmm.
Because next year, if they went out from here, and let's say they play Florida State and beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl. All right, I know we always talk about bowls don't mean anything, but coming into the rankings next year.
Bowls mean a lot.
No, they're exhibitions. But when they come in next year, they're going to have everybody back, assuming Tom Herman comes back, Greg Ward Jr.'s back. They're going to be a lot of national buzz about a team that lost one game and beat Florida State. They open with Oklahoma. You pull off that game, and suddenly you are in those conversations. You become Boise.
Oh, yeah,
so it was never going to happen in 1 year.
Oh, no.
That's the thing that I keep trying to explain to people. This is something that's going to take 2, 3 years to get to that point with winning 11 games every year. So then you're in that conversation. You don't need to be in a better conference if you can do that. If you can become a team that wins 11 games every year, sooner or later you're going to sneak into the top four, because Boise damn near snuck into the top two 1 year.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
That's my theory.
No, I remember that big Fiesta Bowl that they played against Oklahoma and did the, what was it called, the Statue of Liberty play with Kellen Davis doing the fake screen and behind his back or whatever that was. No, I definitely remember that game. And you're right, it's going to take several years for this to come to fruition, if it ever does. But just for me, I just want this going forward to always have every checkbox checked. And I know that with the UTs and all those schools in the Big 12, they don't want U of H to come up in there. They don't. But so I know anytime you're behind the eight ball, you always want to have every possible box checked. That way, whenever they try to push you out or they try to keep you out, it makes it more and more obvious that it's for personal reasons rather than just business.
Well, I think in this case, it's short-sighted to not want a school from this city in the Big 12, because it has hurt recruiting for all of those schools down here. Mm-hmm. And whether it's Rice or – you have the presence here at least once a year. So now what do you get? Okay, A&M comes down and plays, you know, opening day, plays a big opening game against Arizona State.
NRG Stadium.
Yeah, and I think those are the kind of things that are missing. But like I said, I don't want UH in the Big 12. I don't. I think it's...
You want them still in the American...
Dominate this conference for 2 or 3 years, and then wait until the Pac-12 or a real conference is going to expand. the Big 12... Listen, the Big 12 is the way it's structured, it's Texas and Oklahoma, and everybody else is a bitch. I mean, that's basically how it's structured. Now, would it be great to be one of the bitches? Sure. But how long do you think that's going to last?
Okay, but, and I didn't even know we could say that on the air.
That's okay.
But at one point in time.
Where do you hear the gym of the day?
At one point in time, Baylor and TCU were at the basement of the Big 12. There. And now, look where they are. So, yeah, I get it. You got Oklahoma, Texas. That's how it's historically been. Then you got the also-rans. I understand that. But if you stick in there, long enough, you can become one of the big dogs, because
I'm sure they can, but I'm just talking about
look at Art Briles.
But I do think at some point that if Texas and OU can make more money doing something else, they're going to do it, and then you're going to be
and that conference can't survive without Texas and Oklahoma.
No,
if Texas and Oklahoma, even if Texas as bad as they are,
I agree.
And if Oklahoma was just as bad as Texas, if they both left the Big 12 tomorrow and were replaced with UH and Cincinnati,
it would be a better AAC.
It would be a better AAC. They would be that Power 5 thing would be stripped immediately. Immediately, they would not get an automatic.
I can definitely get what you.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's fair or not, that's the reality of it. Because without Texas and Oklahoma, that conference just doesn't have enough clout to compare to these other ones. And that's why people are kind of down on the Big 12 this year. And I've been telling people, the Big 12 really needs Texas and Oklahoma to be good for that conference to really get respected as much as people want it to be. And I know,
fair or not, I mean, and Baylor and TCU may be better football programs right now, but they're still Baylor and TCU.
Yeah, the national perspective is,
and you're right, that's what kept them out of the top four last year.
Yeah, if Texas or Oklahoma had the same resume,
they're
like
in there.
If their uniforms, TCU or Baylor, said Texas or Oklahoma, that team's in the playoffs, and Ohio State doesn't win the championship because they get left home. But that's perception is reality, though, and right now. When Texas is bad, and last year wasn't, it was more of a, you know, both of them, Oklahoma wasn't as good last year. Now Oklahoma's good. Mm-hmm. But when those two teams aren't good, the Big 12 is not respected as a conference on a national level.
And you know what's a shame? Baylor may wind up winning out and missing out again with one loss.
That's not a shame because Baylor doesn't play anybody non-conference.
No, but you know what? They're going to have lost one game and beaten the other three.
Well, yeah, I personally, I'm not a fan of spread offense. Throughout the conference. I'm just not a fan of that. Never have been. That's why I always will believe the SEC is going to always withstand the test of time because they're all about defense. Run the ball, good defense, good D tackles, good linebackers, good safeties in the back end. With the Big 12, I agree. You're right. With Oklahoma and UT, historically, they're always going to just get the nod because just off a name alone.
Because of what they've done.
Yeah. You got Baylor and TCU. Anybody who's under the age of 30, you say who are the best teams in the Big 12, they'll say Baylor and TCU. You ask anybody over the age of 30, just off a historical factor, they're going to always say Oklahoma, Texas, even dating back to the Southwest Conference days. So I'll ask you this, Fred. SEC or Pac-12? As far as where you would want U of H.
I don't think SEC is realistic. I don't see any reason for them to expand. They make too much money. The only reason I bring up the Pac-12 is because they're having a lot of problems with their network and expanding the reach of their network into Texas, which is why they were talking to Texas in the beginning, would be huge for them. And that might be an opportunity down the road, especially if they were to go to 16 teams and try to get their network spread out, because that's what it's about now, is making money off of things like that. It's not about, well, let's go get the best non-Power 5 school. It's not really about that. It's what's this market going to bring me?
Right.
What is this? Oh, wow.
How big can our network's footprint get?
Exactly. So, here's the number 6 media market, number 8 media market, wherever we are right now in the world where we can suddenly get our Pac-12 network in there. That's the kind of thing that's going to appeal to them. Cincinnati, for the same reason, you get a footprint in there. That would appeal to them. And to me, that's long-term. But I would be fine if they just kick the crap out of this conference every year, because sooner or later, they'll have a year like Boise did, and they'd – and it'll be wins over Oklahoma and teams like that that are also in the mix. And then it's going to be hard to leave you out at that point.
What about Big Ten?
Nah, I don't think that's a good
thing. I don't think that's a possibility.
No, either. I don't think the Big Ten has any – had the Big Ten of the SEC have any intention of expanding. I think if anything else happens
– Those two conferences think they are where it's at.
They already came and snatched up Nebraska out of the Big 12.
They did. There's no
but
real
that's
reason.
Nebraska. Yeah.
And Maryland.
That's Nebraska. I mean –
Maryland is
well. That's
Maryland.
They had to make an even number, but
that's why they went for schools like Maryland and Rutgers was to increase.
Yeah,
but that
Rutgers
was to
too.
Increase the television footprint and get the Big Ten network out there more, and it's worked great for them. And there's no reason for them to go any further than that. I think the conferences that are kind of and I don't think the Big 12 was forward enough thinking to realize that we need to do more, and they're happy the way they are because it's just Texas and OU run the thing. In reality, they've lost this market. I think they should look at a market like Memphis or Cincinnati to try to expand for the same reasons. But to me, if it ever happens, it'll be something like the Pac-12 or the ACC. I don't think it'll ever happen, and I'm okay with it. Just make this conference better. Beat the crap out of everybody. Raise the level of this conference, and I don't see why UH can't do that.
Well, no, I agree completely. It's just that I think that somewhere along the line, recruiting could just take off for kids coming out of high school that – U of H comes and sits down in front of the kids' parents. It's just so much easier when you're coming in as a coach and you can talk to the kid about what channels you're always playing on every Saturday. UT, even though UT is whatever right now, they're still always on TV. And U of H winning.
But UT is not on TV because they're in the Big 12. UT's on TV because they're UT.
Exactly.
Yeah. UH is never going to be UT, ever.
Maybe one day.
Never.
From the monetary and from all the revenue that's being generated, we all know that UT is UT. We get that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, at one point in time, U of H can be what Boise State was back when Peterson was there.
That's possible.
See, and that's what I'm saying. And
but Boise did that without being in a big conference.
Exactly. But that right there, when U of H becomes that and can be in a better conference, that's going to be much easier to sell to a kid, to a student athlete, because as a kid growing up, you always want to play for the schools that you see on TV. The ones that you don't really see on TV that much, you don't. Yeah, you know a little bit about them, but right. You can't personalize with them as much.
But because, where will you be in the Big 12 pecking order? Because Texas Tech's not on TV every week.
No, they're not.
But to be fair,
UH is on ESPN2 at worst.
Yeah,
almost every
week.
They've
been being on TV.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
But that's when they're good. Exactly. To be fair,
I mean, that's all right. But that's the point.
If UH is a middle of the pack Big 12 team, though. They're not necessarily automatically.
Right, we're way over, guys. We got to stop right here. But anyway, guys, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies, which is a fantastic place. And I'll tell you what, all you have to do, donate that vehicle. It's sitting in your yard or sitting in your garage. Maybe you were going to fix it up. Maybe you were going to do something with it and you put it off. Well, guess what? How about you donate it? Because what they'll do at Houston Can Academies, they'll take your donation. They're going to use that money to basically provide glasses if kids need them. Give them a meal if they need that, transportation if they need that. And it's all tax deductible for you. They'll come and tow it absolutely free of charge. They'll take care of all the paperwork. All you got to do is make a phone call. They'll come and get the vehicle. And if you donate today and tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you'll receive a $50 Visa gift card. It's just their way of saying thank you. And that money's going to go to help these kids who are getting a second chance, who've dropped out, and now they go to Houston Can Academy where they get another opportunity. And so many of them are graduating and becoming better people and doing better things. And I can't think of a better cause to help. And all you have to do is donate a vehicle. That's it. Give them a call right now, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Blitz on ESPN.